Welcome to Art Focus. I am your host, Wendy Webb, standing in for the lovely Ava Lake. Joining us today is Joey Krebs, a.k.a. the Phantom Street Artist, whose show Blacklisted and Banned is up at Milepost 5. The show of paintings is up through July 30th in the Denison Gallery. The show is hosted by Eclectic Gallery and curated by Renee Rodriguez. The Phantom Street Artist will also be performing You Don't Know What Art Is on July 30th at Milepost 5. Joey Krebs, a.k.a. the Phantom Street Artist, entered the public consciousness in the early 1990s as the famed album cover artist for the band Rage Against the Machine. Joey Krebs is a visual artist, performance artist, activist, writer, and actor. Some notable guerrilla protest performance pieces were The Hollywood Marriage of Mr. Big Money to Commerce, a.k.a. Miss Culture, at the 72nd Annual Academy Awards in 2000, and a simulacrum Andy Warhol counting a briefcase full of play money at the Warhol Retrospective at MoCA in 2002. Through art and performance, the Phantom Street Artist explores the commodification of art, the appropriation of corporate media, post-colonialism, and social resistance. Hi, Joey. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate all the people at KBOO and all great community people at MP5.
Yeah, welcome to Portland. Joey is joining us from, he's visiting from Los Angeles. We also have on the line curator Renee Rodriguez. Hi, Renee.
Hi, thank you and nice to meet you and thank you for the opportunity also.
Let's start with Blacklisted and Banned, and the show is a response to the MoCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles, did a show called Art in the Streets. Can you tell us about Art in the Streets and your protest of that show?
Well, my initiative essentially is very, very simple. It's the best way to approach it is to see it as that it's a theater of intervention with a question. It's addressing, it's critiquing, it's questioning our culture in question, and that's the essential principle behind my performance, my expression, my work, and my identity. It's the essence of my being is to provide inquiry and establish quiet, which is lost in our day and age.
So the MoCA show, which is curated by Jeffrey Deitch, and there's a lot of controversy about someone like that moving into the nonprofit museum world, someone who comes from, the private sector and art dealing and such. And so he goes in and he wants to take a counterculture movement and show the world graffiti art. But the way that he is giving it a narrative, you think is not true to it, is somehow a betrayal.
I would definitely call that into question, and I agree with you on that. I think that what is taking place is and it's not uncommon, is it's the appropriation of radical chic as a value and totally removing any kind of its marginality, anything that's provocative, anything that's compelling, anything that is challenging. It's trying to make it palatable for our particular culture. And this is a particular dialogue that has been in existence since 1970, which is the merging, the privatization of corporate with the arts, of culture with arts, and the corporatization of commodity, of art. And this particular issue is what I address, the issue of the institutional critique.
And Renee, you got involved, you decided to bring Joey to Portland after seeing the protest performance in Los Angeles, is that right?
Yes, I did. Basically what it was, I wanted to give Portland the opportunity to actually be exposed to street art and to actually see someone that is actually from Los Angeles and to incorporate into the city of Portland.
And you are also a graffiti artist, is that right?
Yes, I was in the same era as Joey in Los Angeles.
And so there's a lot that I think that you guys are saying that is misunderstood about street art. And what is it in Blacklisted and Banned that you feel people can really learn about the authenticity in the movement?
Well, the issue with blacklisted and banned is it employs a critical and ironic language that stakes new claim, that challenges through sarcasm and satire, humor, parody, addressing these particular movements that are taking place. We have a particular culture of our time that is not educated, that is not aware of anything in a historical context. And that's what the issue here is what we're addressing. We have a very, very persuasive argument that's being presented with no historical context. That's an issue. That's an issue that needs to be raised. More than ever, ours is a time that needs a sense of history. History is being silenced. History is being denied. And you could see that through the work of Shepard Fairey that has this revolutionary political chic that is essentially just empty, impotent.
What are some works, you've called him a ripoff artist. What are some examples of the way that he has taken things out of context and they've entered the popular culture?
Well, through my YouTube video that actually is up, I actually challenged Shepard Fairey to a performance cage fight, where since Jeffrey Deitch is actually returning the idea of the museums to a populist form, well, I say let's take the museums and make them athletic stadiums, and let's have a challenge match between myself and Shepard Fairey as a populist form for its next show that's taking place in 2012. But the issues of some of the work that Shepard Fairey has appropriated, ripped off, improperly sourced, improperly referenced is Rene Medeiros, the Black Panthers. Mark Valens actually detailed a historical timeline of all the works that he referenced, and they were complete ripoffs. And he only served to advance his own gratuitous interest.
Yeah, for those of you listening, we're talking with Joey Krebs, a.k.a. the Phantom Street Artist, and he has challenged Shepard Fairey to fight him in a cage because Shepard Fairey represents everything that you stand against. And for those of you who are tuning in, Shepard Fairey got a lot of fame for the Obama poster. So he calls himself a street artist, and then he got some fame for the Obama poster, which actually is made from someone else's photograph. Is that right?
It's appropriated from the AP photographer, the Associated Press, Manny Garcia. And as a result, Shepard's lawyer resigned from the case because of the fact that there was all these improper things that were taking place during the court case. And Shepard lost and had to settle with the AP and spend an incredible amount of money in addressing those particular issues of an improper. And this is a state of a judicial branch that says what Shepard Fairey is doing wrong. But our particular culture has no educational value in understanding those values, which is the proper fair use value. And defining what fair use is. Fair use is always, and it's an important thing to discuss, is the importance of what I appropriated the term fair use. But fair use is about where a particular group of individuals from a minority actually are able to express irony and satire. And when you do that as a homage. But what Shepard did was he printed multiples.
Right, he used it as a platform for himself.
And distributed to the point that he exhausted those particular values of those works in culture.
So you're sort of saying that these works of arts are art as social resistance, not to be used as a type of branding.
Absolutely. And the fact that these particular prints that he actually distributes are exhausting the original value of the author's work as a commodity. And not properly referencing, not properly authoring, not properly sourcing. You know, it's basically denying the historical value of these works.
So we're going to listen to a preview of Joey will be closing the show is up through July 30th, and he'll be closing the show with a live performance of You Don't Know What Art Is. And so we're going to play a preview for that now, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. And, you know, Joey's interests are this idea of art as social resistance and, you know, who is really doing things that are meaningful to the community, and kind of these ideas about people.
And
who
through
are,
performance and
right,
critique.
Right. So let's listen to the piece and then talk about your inspiration for it and, you know, how it says your ideas about art. Okay.
You don't know what art is. You just go shop at Walmart is. Then go shoplift at Kmart is. Yeah, you got busted. You stay home and now all you do is fall apart is. You don't know what art is. You just don't know what art is. You say let's connect and find time, this time is. But you just disconnect your mind all the time is. You don't know what art is. Yeah, you're saying you're moving your mother to Hollywood, you're gonna flaunt it is. But you found out the ex-bitch is on America's Most Wanted is. You don't know what art is. You just don't know what art is. You don't know where heaven is. You don't know what year 2011 is. You don't even know how to get to 7-Eleven is. And your life is just one fire truck 9-11 is. You don't know what art is. You don't even know where your heart is. You don't know what a real homie is. Hanging out with Shepherd phonyism is. At Mocha eating white bread and bologna-ism is. You don't know what art is. You just don't know what art is. You just don't. You don't know what a real homie is. You don't even know what the real deal is. Even after you bought the Happy Meal is. Even after you lost the happy-go-lucky feel is. You don't know what art is. Yeah, you try to sell me art for cashes. And now you're dragging me out with Miss Cash for trashes. Trying to make me buy your super smart mocha trashes. When you know you're nothing but a bad mattress actresses. Trying to sell me a piece of asses. And you're still looking like a fire truck Jackie Onassis is. You don't know what art is. You don't even know how to rhyme is. You're just 999 out of your goddamn mind is. Hanging out with those little worms from the Big Apple. Thirsty for something true. Well, why don't you buy me a big Snapple? You don't know what art is. You don't even know what smart is. staying home and drinking Jack with pills is. And now you're dating Miss Jack off Bills is. Telling me your last show brought in $900,000 bills is. Out all night with whacked out people is. You don't know what art is. You don't even know what a shame it is. You don't even know how lame it is. Trying to make that big name of it is. Trying to be famous like it is. You don't know what art is. You don't even know what art is. You don't even know what love is. You don't even know where your fire truck life is. And you probably won't ever find a wife is. Jeffrey Deitch, you doesn't know what spray paint is. Now who's going to have to repaint all this? You don't know what art is. You don't know what art is. You just don't know what art is. You just don't know what art is.
You're listening to Art Focus, and that is a preview of Joey Krebs, a.k.a. the Phantom Street Artist, his performance of You Don't Know What Art Is, which he will be doing July 30th at Milepost 5. And that is Chet Baker in the background of his lyrics. Joey, tell us a little bit about You Don't Know What Art Is. What is art?
Yeah, I definitely would. My particular, again, is the nature of inquiry is to not necessarily define what art is, but as much as address the question of what art is. And it begins as a point of departure by initiating that discourse. So what is art? Art is this, art is that, art is denying this. And that's where I begin my point of departure.
It seems like in Blacklisted and Banned, looking at the pieces and the way that you use symbols, you know, there is even the Nazi symbol in the work. There is the cityscape. There is your famous silhouette figure. There's ways that you're, seems like you're constructing to disrupt narrative, to kind of sort of stop someone from making a cute little story out of a radical art movement. Is it that you feel that Deitch and Mocha are creating a narrative around street art?
A contrived narrative. Mm-hmm. A narrative, especially with the fact that the whole indoctrination of modern media is to be convincing, to propagate, to influence, to persuade the individual's minds. And it's a very successful show. But I begin to question that particularly contrived narrative by addressing it. And that's what my institutional critique is all about. And I'm reifying that whole theater, if you may, and turning it into my particular authoring of its event as a performance, through performance and critique, which is right. what the Phantom Street Artist is all about.
And it's interesting because you as the Phantom Street Artist, and you have different names you operate under, you're kind of working with this idea of anonymity, which is the opposite of this idea of authoring.
Well, not necessarily. The importance is the anonymity addresses to call it into question. The anonymity is an important valued role play, which I've been doing for 20 years. I've done that since the late 80s when I saw the value of being anonymous is very, very important, being able to critique our particular culture in question. It was people like Banksy at a later date that appropriated that form and appropriated that role without properly questioning or giving reference to these important artists before him, like Black Lorac and other individuals Ward Kimball. There is a lack of history that's taking place in this particular context and time. I'm just referencing the proper sources.
So, like the Banksy pieces that are, who are some of the artists who are not in the MoCA show that you think are an important part of the movement?
There are so many artists that have been overlooked and omitted. That particular narrative of the historical timeline is contrived. It
starts in the 70s too, right? That somehow the way they're telling the story.
It starts in the 70s, but the issue of the – it's very, very self-serving. It's not properly – it's the selective process is called into question, the historical timeline. It's almost being very self-serving, very gratuitous. To give historical context to its curators, this is an indoctrination by the curators and not properly referencing the true artists. Now, well, let's go into naming some of the graffiti artists that should be in that show. There is Vile, there's Asylum, there's Panic, there's Rene Medeiros was some really other important graffiti artists that should have been in that show. Black Lorac should have been in that show as well. Now, their excuses, Chaka is another one.
And you mentioned Chaka in one of your pieces.
I dedicated one of my pieces. Now, the thing about this is that this particular critique is so... You would imagine, well, why would it be so questionable? Because we're disrupting, like Renee says, we're disrupting the flow of finances, of relationships between things. So they don't want this particular dialogue or discourse to be addressed. And we're being ostracized, alienated, blacklisted, and banned as a result.
And you guys are trying to work, kind of appropriate those powerful media images so people can get a different view of these, the different street artists that are being introduced to them?
Definitely. And also we're discussing important historical schools that actually first address these important critiques. And not many people even in aware of it. F.R. Leavis, José Gartega y Casset were some of the first people who initiated this tradition of questioning the inherent problems with media in our time, and that was newspapers and films. Today, those are galleries and museums that are indoctrinating a whole generation of individuals to not have any inquiry. And this is networks, galleries, museums, social media employed to seduce public and popular opinion. This is what the MoCA art in the streets is all about.
And Joey, who are some of your heroes? How did you find your way into street art?
I was first properly trained by Kane One, who was a very important formal traditional graffiti artist of the 70s, and I was lucky enough to be into his crew, and I was served with the name Kane Two. Kane One, Eddie Glowoski, who actually died in the 80s, was an individual who painted Full Trains, Welcome to Hell, also some really important traditional top-to-bottom cars. He was the first individual that actually painted a full car in the 70s in New York on July, on the Independence Day. Some of my other heroes are from literary sources and historical sources, important people like critics like Samuel Weber, Jacques Derrida, Jean-Francois Lyotard, Foucault, Habermas, Gadamer, Gramsci, Jean-Baptiste Vico, great literal thinkers that you would find in probably a section of a bookstore that nobody goes to. I find it fascinating, intriguing, provocative, compelling.
And there's so many people to thank for bringing this to Portland. What are some of the organizations? I know Art Saves Lives is an important organization that was
Lives,
part of this.
And also Digital Media Activist Channel, Pirate Free TV. Then I'm actually initiating this discourse, my theater company, the Guerrilla Theater Company that I've been created over 2 decades. I'd like to thank MP5, Gavin Shetler. I'd like to thank Renee Rodriguez, who actually invited me up here, as well as all the people down at the MP5 as well that are having Art Mart as their Art Mart on Sundays. And I just express my gratitude as the important value of the success of the show.
Yeah, it's a really interesting show, and the way you're using a lot of symbols to respond to the Mocha show, and again, like disrupt the narrative that Deitch is creating around there, and just that, you know, those questions of how do we bring radical art into our awareness without subjecting it to, you know, becoming a commodity, something just cool and chic and t-shirts.
Well, what people don't realize is that this took place in the 80s when graffiti was first introduced into the New York market through Tacky's first show, the New York Times, and show at the Janssen Gallery, and through Henry Chaffant and Martha Cooper. That work eventually became a trend. And it's being reintroduced without its value of its great power, which is its nature, is to raise issues into question. The real true artwork is not necessarily in the museums, but it's actually outside. What the museum has done, Art in the Streets, is more about a public relations interest as opposed to a relation with the public at large.
So, Joey, this show is up at Milepost 5 through July 30th, and then you will be doing your performance. We heard a little bit of it today. You don't know what art is.
I'll be dressed up as the important narrative that I created that is very almost humorous. It's absurd. It's where Abraham Lincoln is actually invited from the past to accept his role as the Museum of Contemporary Art's new leader, and that is the Museum of Censored Art. And he actually is where he's actually called into from the past to begin the new Emancipation Proclamation, which is to uncondition our minds and into beginning and initiating that inquiry.
And Abraham Lincoln, of course, is a trustworthy figure, so it'll be good to have him there. Thank you, Renee, also for bringing Joey to Portland. And we'll wait to hear from Mr. Ferry if he can cancel time with his manicurist to show up for a real fight. Thank you for listening to Art Focus. This is Wendy Webb.